Welcome to another life-changing teaching by Jerry Dierman, Senior Pastor of The Rock. For more information about Pastor Jerry's teaching and ministry, please visit jerrydierman.com.
Now everybody put your Bible down for just a minute, hold your fingers up, and do this. Just getting them stretched out because we got a lot of scriptures to turn to tonight. You ready? Hebrews chapter 1. Let's go there. Hebrews chapter 1, and we're on this study called God is Always Faithful. And I've been looking forward to tonight's message because tonight we're going to go listen to the Master. How many of you know who the Master is? Huh? What's his name? Jesus. Tonight we're going to go listen to the Master, and we're going to check up on ourselves to see if we are in line with the Master. How many of you want to be in line with the Master? Hebrews chapter 1. Let's begin reading from the very first verse. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. And it starts off with the word God. Say that. God. So we're talking about God. And it says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. Now let's just stop there because that's kind of a mouthful. God, who in various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers, talking about the children of Israel, the fathers of the kingdom, by the prophets. So God spoke to the people, to the fathers, by the prophets. Now notice he goes on here in verse 2 and says, has in these last days spoken to us by his son. So in these last days, God's not speaking to the fathers anymore. He's speaking to us. And who is he speaking to us by? His son. Let's read the first word of verse 1 and go right into verse 2. Ready? God has in these last days spoken to us by his son. So who's speaking? God, and he's speaking to us by who? His son. And who is he speaking to? Us. Us. God is trying to get a message across to us. And in these last days, he has spoken directly through his son. See, in days of old, he spoke through prophets. Prophets were human beings, but they were sinners, weren't they? How many of you know that? They were not born again people, but they were not even in the same class as Jesus in the sense that Jesus had never sinned. He wasn't born into sin, neither did he sin in his lifetime. And so Jesus was coming and speaking for God. How many of you believe that especially after Jesus was baptized at the River Jordan and filled with the Holy Spirit, that everything he said was what God wanted him to say? Isn't that right? Well, could we say that about the prophets of old? There's only one that comes to mind that may have come close, and it was Samuel. Because the Bible says God didn't let any words of Samuel fall to the ground. Isn't that right? But I believe Samuel got in the flesh where Jesus didn't get in the flesh. Jesus restrained himself from doing that. But I want you to notice that God spoke to us through Jesus. Now here's what we're going to do. We're going to go look and listen to Jesus himself. How many of you believe that Jesus had good doctrine? Anybody disagree with that? Everybody feel like he was pretty much on? What if Jesus' doctrine disagrees with some of the teachers and preachers we have today? Who are you going to pick? Really? Really? But this was kind of way back in the day. So, you know, how do you know he's relevant today? We've got more up-to-date preachers today. How many of you know we've got preachers today that graduated from schools that Jesus didn't graduate from? Isn't that right? I mean, they've got degrees that he never had. Isn't that true? So shouldn't we pick these people? I mean, they're sharp. Look at the way they dress. They're sharp. They dress in nice American Western dress, and Jesus had that Middle Eastern stuff. So shouldn't these people, by the way we see them and their appearance and how sharp and articulate they are, up-to-date, contemporary, making us laugh and relating to our lives, shouldn't we accept their doctrine over this old-fashioned, 2,000-year-old teacher? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Say it. Absolutely not. So how many of you say, yeah, I want to agree with Jesus? Isn't that right? If he says it, I believe that. I believe what he said. Amen?
Amen.
All right, I just wanted to get you set up there good. So that when we read it, we believe what he's saying. Amen. Okay, John. Let's go over to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And we're going to go all around the Gospels. John chapter 14. Let's start there. And come down to verse 6. How many of you have heard this verse? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. How many of you believe that?
Amen.
Well, let's keep reading. Verse 7, John 14, 7. If you had known me, you would have known the Father. Now, you need to understand, this is John 14, which means this is the night before Jesus died, which means he's talking to the 12. And he says, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Now hold your place there, and I should have had you hold it, and turn back to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Notice Jesus said, from now on, you've known the Father and have seen the Father. You've known him and seen him. Well, Philip said, huh? Oh, we haven't seen the Father. In fact, he went on there in verse 8, Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father and it's sufficient for us. Now, I want you to notice in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2, that God spoke to us through his Son. Verse 3, who, talking of Jesus, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. How many of you believe that's talking about Jesus? Isn't that right? The one and only, couldn't be anybody else. But notice what it says about Jesus. He is the brightness of God's glory. You want to talk about the glory of God? Let me tell you what the brightness of the glory of God is. It's Jesus. Meditate on that a while. But this next one is the one I wanted to get to tonight. And the express image of his person. Jesus is the express image of the Father's person. He is the express image. The express image. Now, the two words express image is the translation of one Greek word, and that Greek word is charakter. And charakter, we can hear the word character in it. But it's really a word used for an engraving or a carving tool or an impression. You press something into the clay and it makes an impression. This verse is saying that when we saw Jesus, when Jesus came, as opposed to the prophets who did speak for God, thank God, and they got a lot of things that God wanted to say out, but they were not exact impressions of God. If you looked at Samuel, you would not have seen the Father exactly. If you looked at Elijah, you would not have seen the Father exactly, though they did give words from the Father, and much of what they said was accurate. Isn't that right? Amen. But you know, when Elijah was whimpering under that tree, whining and crying about Jezebel, that wasn't an exact impression of God, was it? No. But it's saying, but in these last days, God has spoken to us by his Son. And his Son is the brightness of his glory, and his Son is an exact duplicate, the exact impression. When you see him, you see the Father. When you hear him, you hear the Father. He is the express image of God's person. Isn't that right? Now, John 14, verse 7, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. He wishes, huh? Yeah, just bring Father down, and that'll be cool. We'll just agree on that. Bring him on. Now, come on, let's see him. And notice what Jesus said. Verse 9, Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? You ever notice that Jesus seemed to answer a different question than they asked? Isn't that right? My wife has this gift. My wife has the gift to answer a different question than what I ask. She does. I'll say, honey, are you going over there? You know, the other day I was over at Albertson's, and now this relates somehow to my question. But somehow she'll tell me a story, and I'm still wanting to know the answer to my question. She thinks she answered it. She has this ability to answer a different question. The disciples many times thought Jesus was answering a different question because he thought at a higher level. Is that what it is? I got to get over here. I'm not bringing her up anymore. Oh, classic. Erase that off the tape. The disciples are asking, Philip specifically says, Lord, show us the Father. And Jesus said, Philip, have I been with you this long and have you not known me? Now, Philip didn't ask him about him. He asked him to show the Father. And he said, have I been with you this long and have you not known me, Philip? Notice what he says. Look at verse 9 again. Have I been with you so long and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Jesus wants to know, how can you say that? How can you even ask me to show you the Father if you've already seen me? How many of you know that what Jesus is saying and what Hebrews is saying is the same thing? Jesus is saying, I am just like the Father would be if he were here. Everything I say is what the Father would say. Everything I do is what the Father would do. My attitude, my expression, everything is exactly what you would see if the Father were standing here. How many of you know that's true? See, a lot of people don't realize this. They think that Jesus was one way, but God, now he's a little stronger. He's a little tougher. God's a little meaner. Jesus was nice, but the Father's mean. He's the tough one, and Jesus is the nice one. This is good cop, bad cop. How many of you know that's not true? Out of Jesus' own mouth, that's not true. No, Jesus was constantly telling of a loving Father. The Father himself loves you. Fear not, little flock, for it gives your Father great pleasure to give you the kingdom. Amen. All right, you getting this? You understand where I am? Okay, we're laying a foundation here. Verse 10, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the work. I want you to notice that Jesus calls the words works. Notice again, verse 10. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority. What does that mean? I didn't come up with these and speak these independently from God. I got these words from him. Isn't that right? Is that what we're saying here? Is that what Jesus is saying? He's saying, I don't have the authority to speak other things. I am speaking what Father wants me to speak. And notice what he says. But the Father who dwells in me does the works. You need to understand something about Jesus. When Jesus was here, Jesus just didn't do whatever he wanted to do. Jesus over and over told us, I do what Father wants me to do. I say what Father wants me to say. Isn't that right? What is he doing? He is a life on the earth completely, 100% sold out, fully devoted. He has, in a way, died completely to anything he wanted to do and says, Father, my mouth, my attitude, my actions, my behavior, everything is to please you, whatever you want me to do. Not any prophet had ever done that before. Jesus was the first one that could say and mean it and be honest about it and it be true. Just watch him. Watch him sleep. Watch him wake up. Watch him handle conflicts. And you'll see how Father does it. Isn't that precious? What does that mean? That means when we go study the Gospels and watch Jesus, we're not just watching one part of the Godhead, but the other part's different. No, we're watching the way God treats people. We're watching the way God treats you and wants to see you and think of you and answer your prayers and work with you. Are you catching this? Why? Because God in the past has spoken through prophets, but in these last days has spoken directly through an exact duplicate, namely his Son, so that we can see what God is all about and get this message clearly from God. And Jesus said, Philip, you're asking to see the Father. How can you even say that? That doesn't even make sense. You've seen me. And if you've seen me, you've seen him. because I speak and I do what He says and does. Amen. So how many of you say, all right, Jesus' doctrine is in line with God's doctrine. Amen. Is that true? And so therefore, I want my doctrine to be in line with Jesus' doctrine. Is that right? Amen. All right. Now flip over to the 7th chapter of Matthew. Matthew chapter 7. Somebody walks up to you and is talking. They're another believer, a brother or sister in the Lord, and they're going through a difficult time. They have some impossible situation that they're facing. And they want to know from you, what do we do? What do we do? I've prayed to God. What do you think is going to happen? Well, I want you to notice in the 7th chapter of Matthew, the 7th verse, we touched on Luke's version of this on Sunday. I want you to notice what Jesus said. Ask, and it might be given to you. Because you see, God in His sovereign knowledge, He knows who He's going to answer prayer to and who He's not. There's a difference between the way Jesus taught and the way preachers of our contemporary teach today. Is that true or is it not true? Now, as I say that, a lot of you think, oh, there's a lot. Yeah, but there's reasons for that. Well, we can talk about that all day. I'm just telling you, there is a difference between what Jesus taught and what we teach today. And Jesus is the exact duplicate of God. Jesus is speaking on behalf of God. So if what we teach and preach and declare, and when I say teach and preach, don't just think pastors. Think about you. When you're talking to people and they bring something up and you're going to give them some words and some opinions and some advice. If we say things and declare things that are out of line with what Jesus said, then who's lying? Huh? So what I'm showing you tonight is that we have veered off over history. You can go back into the church age and see that over time, after a few decades, churches and preachers would veer into false doctrine. And then God would raise up somebody and preach the word and bring the church back, or at least a part of the church. Isn't that right? And then as time went on, it would veer again. Somehow, those generations never thought they were in error. They always thought that it was, oh, those other guys got off, but we're always right. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You just kind of automatically feel like, well, we're right. Because, you know, we know. I want you to notice, this is the way Jesus taught. Ask, and it will be given. Now, He's preaching to a crowd, is He not? Sermon on the Mount. He's preaching to a big crowd. Ask, and it will be given. Think about this. Thousands of people there. Ask, it'll be given to you. Seek, you'll find. Knock, it'll be open to you. And then look at the next verse, verse 8. For everyone who asks receives. God has in these last days spoken to us through His Son, who is the brightness of His glory and the express exact image of His person. So as Jesus is saying this, Father from heaven is telling the earth, ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. As soon as you hear that, your mind goes tilt and says, yeah, but I know some prayers that I prayed. And I know somebody. And we all have data, don't we? We all have experience. But where is your faith? Where is your faith? Is your faith in what you've always experienced? And can your experience be evidence that outweighs the doctrine that Jesus gave us? Could it be that Jesus was in error and He didn't realize that there would be so many people out there that asked for prayers and they weren't answered? And He just was kind of out of touch with society and with relevancy and didn't really get the picture and kind of just was with God so much and he forgot about real life down here? Or could it be that he and the Father are trying to call us up out of the experiences and the circumstances that we're in to believe something that is true and can become true in our lives if we could ever rise in our faith to believe it? For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open. Notice this. Or what man is there among you, if his son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? How much more? Jesus says, the Father giving good gifts to his children is above anything you've experienced that's good on the earth. Isn't that what he just said? If your fathers do it, you need to know how much more your heavenly Father will do this. Notice it says, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? So the principle here is ask. And let me tell you the heart of the Father will give it to you. And anything your Father has done, hey, it's a whole lot better than that with Heavenly Father. Isn't that what he's saying? Is that what he's saying? Let me tell you, when it comes to the teaching and the doctrine of Jesus, we filter it. We water it down to be palatable. We have come into an element or a season in our society where preachers have now watered the word down to where it can be palatable to anybody. We can just put scriptures in secular books and anybody can receive from this. But let me tell you something. That's not the way it was in the ministry of Jesus. You were with him or against him. You're believing or not believing. And he didn't water it down. And when he said, listen, come on, guys, you need to drink my blood and eat my flesh. And the crowd started going away saying, dude, this dude's weird. He looked at the disciples and said, you want to go too? He was not for a second about to back down on his doctrine because some people didn't understand and didn't see how it applied to contemporary life. Notice this. How much more will your Father in heaven give to those who ask him? Verse 12, therefore. Everybody say therefore.
Therefore.
It's a connecting word, isn't it? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Golden rule right there. You know, I had never seen it was attached to this whole passage. Ask and it will be given. Never seen it was attached. Therefore, because the Father will give you what you ask for, therefore, look, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. Well, thinking, well, what does that have to do with it? What is he saying? He's saying, this is what Father's doing to you. He will give you what you ask for, believing that you will give him what he asks for. He says, therefore, you do this to other people, and you give them what they ask for, so that they will give you what you ask for. And of course, what you're asking for primarily is their souls to come to Jesus. But it's being a servant. It's treating people the way you want to be treated. Why? So that it comes back to you. That's exactly what Father is doing to you. Jesus is saying, Father is treating you better than you deserve because he wants you to treat him that way. He wants you to treat him in a way where where you do what he asks you to do. Amen. All right, now look over at the 21st chapter of Matthew. Matthew 21. We just read this yesterday or day before, I believe. Matthew 21, verse 20. And when his disciples saw it, talking about the fig tree that withered away, saying, how did the fig tree wither away so soon? Verse 21, Jesus answered and said to them, assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, it will be done for you. Verse 22, and whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Say that verse with me, verse 22. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. How many things? What word does he use? Is that a limiting word or a blanket word? That's a blanket statement. Can you imagine going into any church and the pastor's getting up and saying, let me tell you what's going on tonight. You came on the right night. Whatever you ask in prayer, believing, you're going to get it tonight. That's what Jesus taught. Is that what he taught?
Yes.
Well, why didn't he qualify? Where's the disclaimers? No. You got to understand, guys. You got to understand. Now, listen. Let me qualify what I was saying there, okay? Don't just go off. I got about an hour of disclaimers to put on this. I want you to notice the blanket statements. And I want you to see something very clearly in the ministry of Jesus. Jesus was always, always. He never talked about prayers that God wasn't willing to answer. Now, I'm not talking about the prayers of the hypocrites. Lord, thank God I'm not like this peasant down here. No, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about honest children coming to God and saying, God, Jesus always, listen to what I'm saying, Jesus always said God would answer your prayers. In fact, he always said God would answer all your prayers. Now, I know automatically we think, well, yeah, but what if somebody's asking for something out of the will of God? And what, yeah, we know that, and Jesus taught about being in line with God as well. But when it came to talking about prayer and believing Father God to answer our prayers, Jesus always said that Father will always do it. Are you listening to what I'm saying?
Yes.
This is the exact duplicate, the express image of God. God spoke to us through His Son. He's the brightness of God's glory. He is exactly what God is trying to say to us. And every time He said, your prayers will be answered. Just ask Father and it'll happen. Look, whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. You need to understand, Jesus never got up and said, now let me just tell you this though, guys, you know, some of you know, you know, come on, don't think I'm talking to you. And some of you, you know this, that when you pray and it doesn't happen. Do you know Jesus never preached that sermon? What do you do when you ask Father in faith and it doesn't happen? You know Jesus never preached that sermon? You know why? Because he preached that it didn't exist. Are you understanding what I'm saying? He always preached that Father would always do it. Look at another verse. Mark, you know this one. Very popular. Mark chapter 11, verse 22. This is the fig tree event from Mark's version. So Jesus answered verse 22 and said, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Might have them, could have them, if the Father's in a good mood, if He looks at your life and sees that maybe you wouldn't get jacked up down the road, or you will. No, you will have them. What I'm telling you is, Jesus did not teach like Christians teach today. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Jesus did not teach like Christians teach today. He got up and convinced crowds of something that sounded too good to be true. He talked about a Father that loved us more than we felt like He did. A Father that loved us more than we've experienced so far. A Father that would answer our prayers if we only had the guts to go in faith and ask Him. And Jesus said right here, if you have the faith, if you're not doubting, you can move mountains in your life. Obviously saying, but if you're not believing what I'm saying and you're doubting, that'll discount things happening. Isn't that right? And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Let's look at another one. Look at the 14th chapter of John again. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. We read a little bit earlier here, but let's come down to verse 12. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. Look at it again. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these will he do because I go to my Father. What is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying there are a whole lot of people listening to me, but they don't believe me. They just take it and they receive, well, it's the Son of God. He kind of talks real big, you know, but that's not really the way we should talk. That's not the way we should preach. Jesus talks, but you know, you can't really understand Jesus. He's at a whole different level and everything. No, Jesus is saying, no, if you can listen to me and believe in me, the works that I do, is this what Jesus is saying? So if we're not doing the works of Jesus, shouldn't we assume that we're not believing everything he said? We just say we do? Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, will he do also, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. And obviously, if you study the whole passage here, he said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit and power. Verse 13, and whatever you ask the Father in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Whatever you ask the Father in my name. Whatever you ask the Father in my name. Is that what he said? Yeah. Does Jesus' doctrine agree with itself? Did he talk out of two sides of his mouth? Where's the verse that says, yeah, but you know, when God doesn't answer your prayer, just know that he's got a higher purpose for not answering your prayer. Where is that? Where is that teaching? Where is that doctrine? We find it today, but do you find it in what Jesus preached? No. Where'd that come from? From somebody trying to reconcile experience with the doctrine of God and fudge the doctrine of the Word of God so that it fits what their life says, so that their life's okay. Instead of saying, wait. All of these people Jesus preached to had problems. They're mostly the lost sheep of the house of Israel. They're Jews. They're people in covenant with God, but their life wasn't going very well. They were under the Roman pressure. Isn't that right? And they weren't, that wasn't the promise of God. That's their land. Romans supposed to be out of here. They're under Roman authority, pressure, taxes. And Jesus comes in and says, but you need to know who you are. Ask and it'll be given to you. So don't think that Jesus came and preached to a bunch of people that just had it all together and felt like their prayers were all coming to pass. He was preaching to people that had experienced that the covenant of God had not manifested in their lives. And yet he still preaches this doctrine. Ask and it'll be given. Seek and you'll find. Whatever you ask, Father will do it for you. Trying to get people to believe. Well, how many of you know some people believe that? They started coming to be healed. Isn't that right? I'm going to ask for healing. And were they healed? Yes. It's amazing what will happen when you'll preach what God wants you to preach. And people start believing what God's trying to tell them. Amen. How many of you believe Jesus' doctrine is true? How many of you say, my doctrine agrees with his doctrine? Raise your hand. Huh? Still? Huh? Not quite as many hands. Starting to think about it now, huh? I know some of you follow. How many of you say, I'm going to agree with Jesus' doctrine? Raise your hand. That's right. That's right. Amen. All right, let's look at another one. Look at the 16th chapter of John. John 16, verse 23. Jesus is speaking still to his disciples the night before he died about after he's raised from the dead and goes on to be with the Father. And verse 23 says, and in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Now, was Jesus trying to lead him astray? Was he trying to just kind of puff him up and make him think that things are going to be better than they really are and not really tell him the truth? No, he told him, hey, people are going to try to kill you. They tried to kill me, they're going to try to kill you. Isn't that right? But he's telling them, but let me tell you, that's people. Now I'm talking about Father. Let me tell you how Father will treat you. Amen. How many of you know people tried to kill Jesus and he escaped until he laid his life down? Is that true? They couldn't kill him until he was ready to lay it down. Nobody takes it from me. Isn't that what he said? Who got him out of those jams? Father God did. Isn't that right? Amen? And Jesus is telling them, you need to know how Father is with you. He's not like people. People are going to try to kill you. They're going to deliver you up. Your own family will deliver you up. But when he talked about Father, he said, let me tell you how Father will treat you. Whatever you ask Father in my name, he'll give you. Are you catching this? This is different, though, than what we hear. And because we hear differently, we believe differently. And because we believe differently, we receive differently. We need to learn that God's word does not jive with experience. We have experienced what we've experienced because of a lack of hearing God clearly. And I know we've got any story we want right in this room of why that's dangerous. But the Son of God, the express image of God, taught this. He taught that God was always faithful. Isn't that right? Jesus was always, always. Are you getting this? When Jesus talked about prayer, it was always, always. God will answer you. Whatever you ask, he will do it. If you believe, he'll do it. Father will do it. He will. He was always, always. He never put the disclaimers, but you know some of you guys. And if it doesn't happen, you notice he never goes on to say that. We do. And because we add to it, we breed doubt in people's hearts. And because we breed doubt in people's hearts, the doubt does exactly what Jesus says it'll do. It filters the power of God working in our lives. If you say to the mountain, be removed, and not doubt in your heart, but believe those things that you say, we can't believe because we were preached to and said, but if it didn't happen, so there was always that exception that God might not. And because we thought he might not, we couldn't with full confidence say, mountain, be removed. I'm in covenant with the Almighty God. Because somebody told us, doesn't always happen. Somebody tried to reconcile our experience into the doctrine instead of just preaching the word. Are you catching this? Now, look at the 8th chapter of John. John chapter 8. How many of you believe that Jesus thought some other things to teach? A lot of people don't know that. You think Jesus wasn't involved in real life and saw opportunities to say things that God didn't tell him to say? Man, he's down in the trenches, wasn't he? Jesus wasn't hiding in some synagogue, was he? Man, he was out with the people. He's out there where they're hurting people. People that have had prayers not answered. Notice what he says here, John chapter 8. Come down to the 26th verse. John 8, 26. I have many things to say and to judge concerning you. But he who sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I heard from him. Did you hear what he just said? Jesus said, I don't say everything that I think and judge. Are you listening to me? I've got many things to say and to judge concerning you. Many things to say and to judge concerning you. In other words, he's looking at people, looking at their lives, and he's got a lot he can say, a lot that he's thinking of. I got many things to say and to judge concerning you. But, notice what he said, but he who sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I heard from him. I don't speak everything that I would say or judge, because I know he who sent me is true. What does that mean? If I don't speak what he said, I may look at circumstances and begin to judge and say things, but I know that what he says is true. And Jesus is letting us know that he has yielded himself not to get down here in the natural. You need to understand, he was God, but he was also human. And so he is watching things happen, and he's got flesh, and he's got a lot of things he could say, and he wanted to go and say, Now let me explain this and that. And, you know, I see what's going on in your life, and I feel bad for this widow over here, and I feel bad for this person over here, and I feel bad for this poor person over here, and this lame person over here. And let me explain. I just want you to notice, he says, you know what, I got a lot of things to say and to judge, but he who sent me is true, and I'm just going to say what he said. You know how disciplined that is? It's more than we have. Isn't that right? Man, we got to say something to make everybody feel okay. But he disciplined himself. No, not going to do that. No, he who sent me is true. And I'm just going to say what I heard from him. Isn't that right? Why? Because Jesus yielded himself and said, God, you are going to speak to your people through me. And so he refused to filter it. He refused to add to it. Are you catching this? Refused to do it. I'm just going to say what God said because it's true. Because this is true. I know this to be true. Amen. Look at it. Verse 27, they did not understand. How many of you know that's common today? Isn't that right? They did not understand that he spoke to them of the Father. Then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as the Father taught me, I speak these things. I do nothing of myself, but as the Father taught me, I speak these things. What does that mean? When he said, I do nothing of myself, he's including, I say nothing of myself. I say nothing. I do nothing of myself, but as the Father has taught me. That's interesting. A lot of people don't think that Jesus needed to be taught because they think he was omniscient on the earth. And I want you to know, he was not omniscient on the earth. He gave up his omnipresence. He gave up his omniscience and he gave up his omnipotence. And he functioned on earth as a human being anointed by the Spirit of God. He functioned by faith and by the power of the Holy Spirit in submission to God, allowing God to work in his life as a model for you and I, human beings born again into the family of God, allowing our Lord Jesus to live through us now. To finish up his life, because he only had 3.5 years here of ministry. And he's got a lot more to do. But he chose to do it through more bodies than just his one. Are you catching this? And he modeled this for us. Notice, the Father taught me. Well, how many of you know Jesus was with the Father forever and ever? Isn't that right? And was omniscient. He gave up these things. He gave up these things. That's why when the lady with the woman with the issue of blood came to Jesus, touched his garment, Jesus turned around, who touched me? He didn't know. If he's omniscient, he would have known. You think he was playing a game? Oh, I know who it is, but who touched me? Where are you? No, he wasn't playing a game. He didn't know. He asked a question. He asked a question. Isn't that right? They came and said, Lord, when is the end of the age going to happen? He said, nobody knows that, not the angels in heaven, nor even the Son of Man, but only the Father knows that. Is that true? Is that what he said? Well, if not even the Son of Man knows it, then that means he's not omniscient. And many other things, the Bible said, Jesus perceived their thoughts. Well, if you're omniscient, you don't need to perceive their thoughts. You don't need the Holy Spirit to help you see it. See, if you don't properly watch Jesus and see how he's functioning as a human being, anointed of the Spirit of God, yielding his life and mouth to God, you will put him in a different category than you, and you won't even consider that he's a model for you. And you'll read this passage about the woman with the issue of blood and always make yourself the woman, and you're not supposed to. You're supposed to make yourself the one with the garment because you're anointed with the same Holy Spirit that Jesus was anointed with. People are supposed to be coming up to us and saying, man, you got power in your life. Isn't that right?
Yes.
But the reason why we haven't is because we haven't even considered Jesus as an example to us. And yet he is. He's the perfect example. The perfect example for a human being. So notice again, I speak as the Father taught me, the end of verse 28, I speak these things, and he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. Say that last line with me. For I always do those things that please him. How many of you would like to say that about yourself? Amen. For I always do those things, say those things that please him. As he spoke these words, many believed in him. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, what I'm teaching you as opposed to what everybody else teaches. Let me tell you, there were a lot of teachers of the day that Jesus was teaching in. Isn't that right? And they had a different doctrine that was much more palatable, that reconciled with life much more. And Jesus didn't reconcile with it. He was talking at a whole different plane. But Jesus tells these guys, he said, if you, look at it, if you abide in my word, if you can listen to what I'm saying to you, even though it sounds too good to be true, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. What is a disciple? It's a lookalike. A disciple is a lookalike. It's somebody that was trained by somebody, and so they are disciples. They do things, say things, act like their teacher. Jesus said it's enough that a disciple be like his teacher. Isn't that right? Disciples are like their teacher. He said, if you will live in what I say, not what you've experienced, not what everybody else says, but if you will just live in what I say, you will be my disciples. You will look like me, talk like me. What is he saying? Just like I am to the Father, you'll be to me. You will be my disciples indeed. Notice this, and you'll know the truth. And the truth will make you free. Notice the freedom doesn't come, though, until you live in his word and say, you know what, I'm just going to, it sounds too good to be true. It's not what everybody's teaching, but that's what Jesus said. And I believe what Jesus said. He said, if you believe what I say, do what I say what I say, you'll be just like me and you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Free from what? Whatever you need to be free from. Whatever doesn't line up with the truth. Isn't that right? But notice it starts with, you've got to swallow this bitter pill of saying, you know what? I believed wrong. I've been taught wrong. I've experienced wrong. And I no longer make experience my teacher. I will interpret my experience with what Jesus said, not interpret what Jesus said with my experience. Are you understanding this? Everything lines up to what he said, not what I've experienced. But that's not easy to do. Amen. Amen. That takes a genuine submitting to Jesus and saying, you're right. Even though I don't see how you're right, I know you're right. And I believe what you say. You're smarter than I am. How many of you know God's smarter than you are? Isn't that right? You believe that? But we argue with him, don't we? We argue with the word. We discount what he says. Walk away and don't believe it. Why? Because we make ourselves smarter than God. And God's saying, all right, believe what you want to believe, but if you listen to me, if you believe this, even though it sounds too good to be true, it'll change you. It'll change you. Most assuredly, I say, who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these will he do. But that's for those who believe in him. Amen. Amen. Do you understand? Thank God. Okay, now, look over at the 7th chapter. Let's back up to the 7th chapter. Oh, this is, some of you better close your ears. If you're barely hanging on now, you don't want to hear this. Chapter 7, verse 16. Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me. Well, isn't that what we've been talking about? Isn't that right? My doctrine is not mine. Now, why would he say that? Of course it's his. He's teaching it. Need to understand what he's talking about. He's saying, I'm down here on the earth. I'm a human being. I get tired. I get weary. I look at people. I watch their lives. And let me tell you, sometimes I'm seeing things that seem skewed to what Father said. He's saying, but let me tell you something. What I'm teaching you is not what I came up with by experience of life. This is not my doctrine. I am receiving a direct line of doctrine from Father in heaven. This is not 33 and a half years or 30 years of experience on the earth, and now I'm giving you what I've learned. Here, the Son of God on earth, I've learned some things in the last 30 years, and I'm going to give it to you. How many of you know that's what he's saying? I'm not doing that to you. I'm giving you age-old, eternal wisdom from God. Are you understanding this? This is not what Jesus has learned in 30 years. This is what God knows, and Jesus is being a channel of God's wisdom And Jesus was taught these things from a baby. He learned, by the Bible says, by the things he suffered. Isn't that right? We wouldn't have to learn if he was omniscient. Amen. All right, now look. Here's where it gets into the nitty-gritty. My doctrine is not mine. Now, let me just clarify. How many of you know Jesus' doctrine and God's doctrine is the same? Isn't that right? What I'm not telling you is Jesus had a different doctrine. No, but he chose that his doctrine is God's doctrine. Anybody, everybody with me here? I'm not trying to paint a picture that Jesus has some whack doctrine, but he just was not. No, Jesus saw things, experienced things, but he determined that those things that he saw, experienced, and may have wanted to make judgment on was not his doctrine. Because Father is true, and whatever Father says, I know to be true. And so he gave Father's doctrine. Okay? So my doctrine is not my own, but his who sent me. If anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. Listen, if anyone wills to do Father's will as opposed to his own will, if anyone wills to do Father's will, then he'll know. He'll be able to tell that my doctrine is not my own, but it's God's. In other words, if your heart is genuinely 100% not for yourself, but to do God's will, then you know, you will know when somebody's teaching you the doctrine of God. It bears witness in your heart because that's your heart to do God's will. If, notice again, if anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it's from God or whether I speak on my own authority. Verse 18, he who speaks from himself seeks his own glory. What does that mean? Jesus is saying, I'm not speaking from myself. I'm speaking what God says to me. But the person that doesn't say what God says, just the way God says it, is a person that's looking out for number one. Got to make sure I'm covered. I don't want to say anything and people are not going to like me. What if nothing happens after I talk big? What are they going to think about me? They may not come to my church. They may ridicule me at work. Jesus is saying, let me tell you, I'm not here for myself. He's clearly saying, if I was here for myself, I might not say all these things. But I don't seek my own glory. I seek the glory of the Father. Notice again, look at it. He who speaks from himself seeks his own glory, but he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. What does that mean? That means when we get to preach, and I mean it applies all the way from the biggest evangelist or pastor in the world preaching on their big platform with their big microphone, all the way down to the Christian talking one-on-one in a conversation where they didn't even consider that it was preaching. But they begin to say something, and they wouldn't say what God said. Why? Why wouldn't they? Because they didn't want to make God look bad? No. We'd like to say that. Well, I don't want God to look bad if I say that he's going to do it and he doesn't do it. I don't want them to think bad about God. Oh, it's God you're really looking out for, isn't it? Huh? What's Jesus saying? Jesus is saying, this is not easy to say these things. You have to give yourself your life up and say, it's not about me. I don't care about me. I want him to be glorified. I'm seeking his glory. So therefore, I've yielded myself to him. Say, God, I don't know what people are going to think about me when I say it, but I'm just going to teach what your word says. That's not easy, is it? So if you're seeking your own glory, you're not going to. And not only that, let me tell you what else you'll do. You'll start bagging on people who do teach what God said. And come up with all the reasons why they shouldn't. We'll start with Jesus. He was always, always. Blanket statements. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he'll give you. Everyone who asks receives. Start with him. What do you got to say? God says, He's the one that says what I was trying to say. Look at the 12th chapter of John. John 12. Verse 44. John 12, 44. Then Jesus cried out and said, He who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. How many of you can see that Jesus was serious about this whole God saying through me? Isn't that right? I mean, this is not just something he just casually mentioned one day. Over and over, he's letting everybody know, you're not getting me, you're getting God. He who believes in me believes not in me, but him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as a light into the world that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words, what I am teaching, what I am saying, has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. What does that mean? Well, Lord, you know, we didn't do these things because we didn't think it was your will. Didn't I say, ask anything in my name and he'll do it? Yeah, but you know, Lord, we, you know, sometimes we had asked for some things. And, yeah, but isn't that what I said? Jesus said, and I'm going to judge you based on what Jesus said. Not based on what you said, not based on what your pastor said, not based on what the most educated person in the world said. I'm going to judge you based on what Jesus said. Isn't that what it says? Jesus said, I'm not going to judge you. It's the words that I said to you that are going to judge you. I said it this way. Yeah, but you know, Lord, in life, you know, when you get right down to experience, you know, it doesn't always. Yeah, but I said it was this way. Yeah, but Lord, you know, I was even listening to brother so-and-so and pastor so-and-so. And Lord, they said that in their, they didn't even, Lord, it didn't even. And so they told us how they approached. Yeah, but that's not what I said. I said, this is the way Father is. Ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you'll find. I mean, if you see what I'm talking about here. See? And let me tell you, don't think that it was Jesus and then the rest of the Bible's the other way too. We've been talking all this time about how God overwhelmingly is trying to convince us that He's always faithful. Not a man that He should lie, nor a son of man that He should repent. Forever, O Lord, Your word is settled in heaven. There are two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. God who cannot lie. You understand what I'm saying? All the promises of God are yes, and in Him, amen. Over and over and over and over, God says, what I promised in the Bible is true. All of the doctrine that says, but even though the Bible's true, God still chooses when He wants to bring it to pass, all came after the Bible was written. It didn't come from the Bible. Including the messages on Job and Paul's thorn. You understand? Those are messages from people's perspective of Job and Paul's thorn. But it doesn't jive with the whole Word of God and God saying, but that's not what I said. I said I'm faithful. I said I bring it to pass. I said ask and it will be given. And because we bought into the doctrine of the day, when we go to pray, we pray with the faith of the doctrine of the day. And here all this time, Jesus is looking at us saying, listen to me, listen to me. My doctrine. Listen, listen to me because I have His doctrine. Don't worry about the rabbis. Don't worry about all those traditions, all that other stuff that you've heard. Don't listen to that. Don't meditate on that. Think and live in what I said. Listen to what I'm saying. I'm saying God wants to give it to you. He wants to bless you. He wants to help you. Listen to me. And just think if you meditated all day long just on what Jesus taught. Ask and it will be given. Fear not, little flock. Gives your Father great pleasure to give you the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added. Because Father already knows you need them. See the way he talks? He doesn't talk like it might happen and it might not. No, he already knows you need it. Just get in alignment and seek first the kingdom. He's going to give it all to you. Amen. Look at the 15th chapter. John 15, verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. If you abide in me and my words, notice, you need to be in my words and my words need to be in you. You're not going to get it just listening to anybody's doctrine out there. I hear people sometimes say, oh yeah, I'm all full because I listen to Christian radio. So I just am full up on all. Well, you know, thank God. Go ahead. Listen to all you want. But let me just tell you, if you're not hearing somebody telling you, this is how God is. Ask and he's going to answer your prayer. Seek and you will find. You're hearing people that are constantly telling you, well, you just don't know God's will. We pray, and whatever God wants to happen, he does that. And so really what you ought to pray is, Lord, your will be done. Just God, if it's your will, do it. If it's not, whatever. But I want you to notice that's not the way Jesus prayed. And that's not the way he told us to pray. And if you listen to that, you think you're getting full of the word. You're not getting full of the word. No, faith comes by hearing the word. Isn't that right? Well, yeah, they read scriptures before they preached it. I don't care if they read scriptures before they preached it. Do you understand? Listen. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done. Man, that's a different style of life. That's a different level, isn't it? You know why we don't live at that level? Because we're not preached to at that level. We're not taught at that level. We don't meditate at that level. We've got too much other stuff that has come in. Philosophy, tradition of the day, Christian teaching that is not exactly what Jesus said. Because we want it to jive and reconcile with everybody's life. And so we want everybody to feel good. So we have to go and talk about this person. This person didn't receive. And here's how this could fit and this and that and the other. And by the time you walk out, you think, well, you know, whatever. You know, you don't know if God's going to do it or not because this God didn't do it over here and here's why and it sounds good and everything, but the bottom line is I walk away, I don't know what he's going to do. That's called no faith. That's doubt. Jesus in his ministry was so disciplined and every time he talked about it, he said, whatever you ask the Father, he'll give you. Constantly, whatever you ask in my name, Father will give you. Two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask. Be done for them with my Father in heaven. Isn't that right? See, I'm not quoting all of them. They're all over. But you won't find Jesus say, and sometimes you'll pray and Father will say, well, you know what? Because of something going on in the future in your life and all this, not there. He didn't preach it. You know why? Because he knew if he preached that and made those exceptions that people would not believe and not receive. Now, let me ask you, let me finish this verse. Look, verse 8. I'm getting excited about it. By this my Father is glorified. By this my Father is glorified, that I bear much fruit. Is that what it said? No, listen. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you desire and it will be done for you. And by this my Father is glorified, that you bear fruit just the way that I'm bearing fruit. Father doesn't get glory out of your prayers not being answered. You think the world's excited about Christians praying prayers that don't get answered? Oh yeah, I want to come serve your God too because he doesn't listen. Isn't that right? You know why people were excited about Jesus? Because God listened to him. Yes. Stuff happened. He prayed and stuff happened. We pray, nothing happens. And the world's supposed to say, wow, I want your Jesus. You prayed and you died. Yeah, I want to be just like you. Now listen to what I'm telling. Listen to what I'm saying. I'm not putting any condemnation on anybody. What I'm saying, though, is we've been taught wrong. We should not be meditating on experiences and what everybody says, trying to reconcile everybody. We need to just say, you know what? We're not lined up with God. We don't have the evidence of the Word of God because we haven't been believing the Word of God. We got too much other stuff. We need to filter all this out and say, you know what? I don't know how. I don't know why, but I know this. Jesus' doctrine is true and his doctrine is in line with God's doctrine. That's where I need to be. Who cares what anybody says? I believe God's word. You know what? Ever since I made that decision, I believe God. I believe my prayers are get answered. My prayers started getting answered. Amen. Stuff started happening in my life. That's why I'm so excited about it. I'm not pastoring as a career. Gee, I don't want a career. Forget the career. You know, if we just shut this whole church down, man, I'm going to go somewhere else and tell somebody about the goodness of God. Amen. You understand what I'm talking about? I mean, we got a faithful God. He wants to do some things. That's the kind of Christians God's looking for, is Christians like Jesus who will say, let me tell you, I'm not going to tell you what I think about your life and why you're going through. I'm going to tell you what God said. Ask and it'll be given. You get lined up with God and get your faith right, man, God's going to help you. Really? You think He will? Yes, He will. Yes, He's going to heal you. Yes, He's going to deliver you. Yes, we need to talk like that. I'm telling you, and when Jesus went to certain towns like Nazareth where they didn't talk like that, He had a hard time getting things done. Isn't that right? So what did He do? He started going around in their villages, teaching them, trying to get this doctrine to them. Amen. Amen. Let me read you some verses. How many of you know Jesus not only taught this, but it happened in His life? How many of you know Jesus healed, delivered a lot of people? Isn't that right? Let me just read you some. Don't turn there because I'll feel obligated to go slower. Matthew 4:24. If they're quick, they can put it up on the screens. Then His fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to Him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics and paralytics, and He healed them. He healed some of them, a couple of them, a few of them. How many did He heal? Well, it said epileptics, paralytics, demon-possessed, and He healed them. Who? Them that they just got done talking about. He's talking about all of them. Isn't that right? Where's the exception? Where's the one that walked away and said, well, you know, it's just the sovereign will of God. I didn't get it. Where is the one? Where's the exception? Show me where the exception is. Not there. Listen to Matthew 8:16. When evening had come, they brought to Him many who were demon-possessed, and He cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were... Where's the exception? Where's the one that God just looked down and in His sovereign will and His foreknowledge realized that it wouldn't be good to... Where is it? Let me tell you something. Jesus is the express image of God. He is showing us exactly what God is like. Matthew 12:15, listen to this. But when Jesus knew it, He withdrew from there, and great multitudes followed Him, and He healed them, say it, all. Where's the exception? Is this our percentage? Is this our batting average today? No, it's not our batting average. Why is it? Do we believe this doctrine? This doctrine that I'm teaching you tonight, and just letting Jesus teach it, is that the doctrine of our day? It's not the doctrine of our day. Isn't it a coincidence to you that our doctrine is different and so are the results? Amen. Jesus taught this way and results happen. The apostles taught this way and the book of Acts results happen. We teach a different way and get different results and say we're right, not them. Well, we don't say not them because somehow we want people to believe that it's the same. But it ain't the same. Amen. Look at the 15th chapter. Don't look at it. 15:30. Ah, you can look at it if you want to. 15:30. Then great multitudes came to Him, having with them the lame, blind, mute, maimed, and many others, and they laid them down at Jesus' feet, and He healed them. Where are the exceptions? Where are the ones He just chose in His sovereign knowledge not to heal? Where are they? Show me where they are. This is God speaking through His Son. He's the express image of how God is. Show me where they are. Then why do we tell people that that's not the way God always does things? This is the, Jesus said, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. This is what Father would be doing if He were here. Amen. This is what we should expect God to do today. Amen. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Well, let Him be and stop telling people that He's different. This is how He is. Where are the exceptions? Everybody say they're not there. No, they're not there. I tell you where the exceptions are. In our life. There's every one of us have had prayers not answered. Isn't that right? There's not a person in here batting 100%. And we all have to say, Lord, I haven't had all my prayers answered. In fact, I haven't believed that all my prayers would be answered. I haven't even believed this doctrine. I say I do. Maybe I confess and say, Lord, I'm believing you. But just because you say you're believing doesn't mean you're believing. How many of you know that's true? Look at your neighbor and say, don't lie. Come on, tell him. Don't lie. Listen to the 19th chapter of Matthew. 19 verse 2. Matthew 19, 2. And great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. Healed who? The great multitudes. Where are the exceptions? See, I'm not even giving you the little details of the withered guy with the withered arm and the lady with the issue of blood. I'm not even going through the individual. I'm just talking about the multitudes so you can see the big crowds. Listen to Luke 4, verse 40. Luke 4, 40. When the sun was setting, all those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on every one of them. He laid his hands on every one of them and did what? Healed them if it was the will of God. If God didn't in his sovereign knowledge see some reason why he shouldn't. Where did we get that doctrine? We made it up. It didn't come from Jesus. Either his words or his actions. It did not come from him. This is the express image of God. You want to get back to what God said and what God did? This is what God says and this is what God did. And when you don't preach what God says and you don't preach what God did, you're preaching something else. And Jesus said, let me tell you why. It's because you're looking out for yourself. That's why. You want people to like you. And you don't want to take the results and the brunt of saying something that seems too good to be true, that people are going to have to go back and reconcile why it didn't come to pass. And let me tell you something. We've been over this teaching. We know there are many reasons in the Bible why these things don't come to pass. Do all prayers get answered? No. But why did Jesus keep preaching? He knew that. He read the Old Testament. He knew. Prophets died. Things happened that shouldn't have happened. Isn't that right? People disobeyed. David disobeyed. Lost his baby. I mean, things happen. But Jesus is trying to tell us, but listen, that's not Father's heart. No, listen, this is the way Father is. He wants to answer your prayers. You got to believe this. Listen to Luke 6. Verse 17, Luke 6:17. And he came down with them and stood on a level with a crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and from the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon who came to hear him and be healed of their diseases as well as those who were tormented with unclean spirits. So notice, it's not just healing, deliverance, bondages being loosed. And they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for power went out from him and healed them what? All. Where are the exceptions? We're the ones that in God's sovereign knowledge, he knew it wouldn't be right to heal them in this point. Where are they? Where are they? Somebody tell me where that reference is, where that person came up to Jesus to be healed, and Jesus said, you know, we're going to teach you something. Instead of healing you today, we're just going to use this sickness to teach you some character. Teach you to get closer to us. We're just going to use this. Where is that? Somebody tell me where that is. Is that Matthew? Or is that Luke? Where is that? Where is that? That's First Baloney 2:4. Now, let me just clarify. Does that mean that if something is attacking you, that God doesn't use that to teach you? No. How many of you know God will use anything to teach you? Isn't that right? Amen. And he does. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Amen. We know that God uses. Thank God he uses. We need all the teaching we can get. But when we start saying, oh yeah, well, you know what? I didn't know why this didn't happen and why, you know, but now I look back and I see what God was doing. Oh, you don't see anything. The only way you see accurately is when you take the word of God and you say, well, I know this is the way God is. So I look back and I see God being faithful, but the devil's not. And I'm not sometimes. And if you look back and still see the doctrine of God being true in evaluating your experience, but the devil being a thief and you not always measuring up, then you can properly interpret your experience. But the moment you look back and try to tell anybody that God changed And the way he was when Jesus was on the earth is not the way he is anymore. He makes exceptions today. You can do everything right, pray everything right, walk the straight and narrow with God and please him in every way, and God will still decide, I'm not going to answer this prayer, sorry. I got another reason, just don't worry about it. I'll tell you when you get to heaven. How many of you believe the doctrine of Jesus? Huh? See, that's where we started. It's easy to say until you read it. Amen. I believe this. I believe what we ask in the name of Jesus, he'll do. And I'm going to keep convincing you and convincing you until you believe it so that you start receiving. Because God the Father is trying to figure out why we won't receive his goodness. And I tell you why it is, because we've listened to too many other people. We need to just listen to what Jesus says and listen to what the Word of God says. God is a faithful God, made covenant with his promise. He does not go back on his covenant. All this other stuff, we need to weed it out and say, you know what? These guys are great. These ladies are great. Whoever they are talking to you, I believe Jesus. I believe the Word. Somebody said, what about that Syrophoenician woman? Jesus told her he wasn't going to heal her. All right, let's close with that. Look over there. Look over there. Mark 7. Look at it. Mark 7. Let's look at this lady. Mark chapter 7. How many of you love the Word of God? Mark 7. Come down to the 24th verse. Mark 7, 24. From there he arose and went to the region of Tyre and Sidon, and he entered a house and wanted no one to know it. Why? Why? Is he sneaky? Why? He gets tired. He's a human being. Right? Ministering all the time. Trying to get a break. Trying to get a breather. Wanted no one to know it. You think it's because he didn't want to help anybody? No. He helps people all the time. Wanted no one to know it, but he could not be hidden. For a woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard about him, and she came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by birth. And she kept asking him. She kept asking him. She kept begging him, the cross-reference says, to cast the demon out of her daughter. But Jesus said to her, let the children be filled, notice this, first. Let the children be filled first. Now what is he talking about? Let the children be, well, he's saying he doesn't want to help an old lady, he wants to help children. Well, she's asking for her child. What's he talking about? How many of you know he's not talking about literal children? Huh? Hold your place there and look over, hold your place. Look over at Matthew 15. Matthew 15. Verse 24. Matthew 15, verse 24. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Jesus is saying, you know what? The Father didn't send me right now to take this to the whole world. How many of you know in just a few days he's going to tell his disciples, go into all the world? Isn't that right? And he's going to send Peter over to Cornelius' house to the Gentiles to get him filled with the Spirit. How many of you know that's true? Isn't that right? But right now, Jesus was not sent to go to the whole world. He said, I was only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Notice. Hold your place there. Or go back to Mark chapter 7, verse 27. But he said to her, let the children be filled first. First, in other words, yours is coming, but not right now. I wasn't sent to you. Let the children be filled first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. Jesus wasn't bagging on her. Jesus wasn't belittling her. But he's saying, you need to understand that there may be dogs in our house, but they're not really part of the family. We say that, you know, we have dogs in our house. We say they're part of the family, but they're not part of the family. When I die and leave an inheritance, those dogs ain't getting dinked. Let me tell you right now.
We hope you enjoyed this message today by Jerry Dearman, Senior Pastor of The Rock. To join Operation Solid Lives, Pastor Jerry's free discipleship program, get free teaching downloads and blog and Twitter updates, find a campus of The Rock near you, or to join the 2 Spy Club and help get this uncompromised teaching to the world, visit us at jerrydearman.com or write to Jerry Dearman Ministries, P.O. Box 4970, Anaheim, California, 92830.